Hey guys, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. And wait a minute, Rob isn't here. I'm giving you a little message. We had a little technical difficulty this morning when we were recording our audio tracks. I blame an SD card. You can call it what you want. But the content that was in our first recording was so much better than the second recording. So I wanted to make sure you guys got the best content. So I apologize for the quality of the audio because it kind of sucks. We got it out of the camera and then your boy Paul here edited it up. So it probably sounds worse than normal. Anyway, guys, please, we apologize for the inconveniences may cause you, but check out the podcast and let me know what you think. Thanks, guys.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey guys, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 293. And yes, as always, we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
Sounds like you're really, really hyped. You're very energetic about that statement, Rob.
I'm very energetic about that. I love that people spend a few minutes of their day with us. Absolutely.
I'm glad you do.
Very much appreciate it.
If it seems like we're down and out, well, there are some things that happened this weekend at our office that we are dealing with, which was an unfortunate situation.
Yes.
But luckily, you know what? We're grateful that all of our studio's okay. And
nobody's hurt.
Nobody's hurt.
Yeah, we had just an unfortunate incident, right?
Yes.
A break-in and...
Yeah, and they broke into every other office in the neighborhood, too, it seems like.
And we live in a great, I mean, we don't live, we are officed in a great area, it's a nice part of town, but I think it just shows that really nowhere is safe from this kind of stuff.
That is very true.
But
that is very true.
Anyways, everybody's healthy.
On a good note, it seems like the world drone-free is over, Rob.
Oh, it
2016,
is?
And the winner is...
Did I see right?
15 years old.
15-year-old kid won
that
thing? That just shows you who's good at this stuff.
Well, I think, one thing it made me think about is, you know, is that really who's good at this stuff? Or does it more so correlate to the amount of time that we can actually put into something in order to get a return? Because this was the first, you know, drone race that really produced mass amounts of money for people. You know,
mm-hmm.
This 15-year-old kid went home $250,000 richer.
So just a clarification on that, was he part of a team that they share in that, or was that all his? Do you know?
That is a really good question. That is a really good question.
And
I don't know.
Is the NCAA going to come down? I'm just kidding.
But, you know,
amateurs can't earn money.
But now that it's a professional sport, people are making money. You may see older people spend more and more time on it because I think that's what really does come down to who is the best. I mean, that 15-year-old kid, from what I hear, had a lot of technical skill. I believe his name was Luke. A lot of technical skill.
Okay.
He kind of reminded me that HPI guy who kind of inspired me to fly drones about 3-4 years ago. He posted a video backstage with Luke, the 15-year-old kid.
Right.
And, I mean, he kind of reminded me of Michael Phelps. He was, like, practicing, you know, the course without looking. You know, he just wanted to be totally and mentally prepared.
We've talked about that with regards to FPV racing, whereby somebody knows the course so well they could literally do it with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
And he probably was at that point or really close to it.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing.
Which I think is what it takes, you know, just
yeah.
Like... if you heard Michael Phelps, when he was going for his first gold medal, he got water in his goggles, but his coach had trained him to encounter problems
yep.
during these big, stressful situations,
right.
And he knew how to handle it. You know, he
didn't freak out.
He didn't freak out, and he had timed how far he was. So if you put in the practice, if you put in the effort, and you learn how to mitigate stress, or as Freakonomics Radio would say, use stress to your advantage,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's exactly what he did. So... congratulations to him.
Very cool.
Drone yeah. World Prix is going on. And now it looks like we're going to see the next race in Miami. We'll see who wins that one. But FPV racing is growing so much. Although one thing I did notice is that I saw a few complaints online
And a lot of people are like, you guys got to, you know, relax. It's the first drone race of this scale. Like, they're going to have problems, you know. And then what I also saw, though, is that the reaction, the people that are actually watching the event, was very low. And it's they weren't getting many YouTube views either. And it's like, well, I mean, you guys are 12 to 15 hours ahead of us.
I think that's a big part of that.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of different variables, a lot of different factors. But anyway, we just want to say congratulations again to everyone who went to that.
Yep.
Drone News in-house FPV racer John Casey was there with the Big Whoop team. He'll be coming back and filming that FPV racing course, how to build a drone racer for a new guy versus an advanced guy, because there are a lot of differences. But he'll also teach you the differences in flight modes, flight controllers,
right,
and really like how to learn to fly. So if you want to get into that.
Which is great, Paul, because we're getting a lot of interest, or we're getting a lot of inquiries about why we don't do more on FPV. So it's something that we've got to talk about. But if that's something that you guys are interested in, and we know some of you are, but if more of you are than we even think would like us to spend more time on that, we'd like to hear from you.
Definitely.
So support at thedroneu.com, or obviously in the AskDroneU.com question area. That'd be awesome as well.
Definitely. And guys, if you are an Osmo shooter, you got to check out our review. It's one of my favorite reviews, frankly, and I love the style that we did it in, and I feel like most of our review videos are going to be in a similar style. We really had a lot of fun with this. It really kind of showcases our creative nature here at DroneU, thanks to John, our new producer, and our editor, Mr. Puyo. So anyway, it's a great
team.
Great team, great collaboration. Let's get into today's question. Today's question is going to be brought to you by Legal Flyer, if you guys are watching on Facebook. If not, check us out on Podomatic or iTunes, Ask DroneU, and you'll actually see that full commercial. But let's play the question and answer it.
Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 353 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27, which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyer's advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single-page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information, or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
What up, Drone U? This is Rich calling from Honolulu, Hawaii. My question for you today is regarding fixed-wing UAS. It's a multi-part question, so please take your seats. Long-time fixed-wing RC pilot here. I caught the FPV bug back in 2012, and it's been a mild obsession ever since. Naturally, when I heard gents were making money with their models, it became a part-time dream of mine to one day do the same. Now to the question. Part 1. Fixed-wing UAS. It certainly can't be denied that fixed-wing platforms are the best choice for some jobs, such as mapping or surveying a vast area. Conversely, for other purposes, such as real estate photography, seemingly most cinematography, fixed-wing would likely be all but useless. Where does the drone you stand with regard to fixed-wing? Do they have a place, a stake, in the industry? What about the limitations on beyond visual line of sight operation? The next part to my multi-part question, do you feel it viable for an individual, a small businessman, to offer services using fixed-wing UAS? You've stated previously that one is most likely to achieve success by focusing on a specific area. Find your niche. Do you feel it necessary to narrow that down to platform, fixed-wing or multi-rotor? Or could a fixed-wing plane be another arrow in your quiver? Finally, part 3 of today's question. Within the fixed-wing FPV niche of the RC hobby, platform acquisition predominantly has been and is a do-it-yourself affair. Buy a prefab airframe, builder's choice of commercial off-the-shelf hardware and electronics, build, tune, fly. Recent years have seen the emergence of several ready-to-fly fixed-wing systems which appear to be aimed at commercial and industrial application. Systems such as those by Sensefly, Precision Hawk, and 3D Robotics, to name only a few. Now these do have a pretty extreme set of capabilities, as well as a pretty extreme price tag. And even more recently, we've seen systems like the Disco from Parrot. While it may have some commercial applications, she appears to be aimed at consumer and even novice pilots. That information digested, Would the drone you condone the practice of do-it-yourself building in business? What, as you see it, are its disadvantages or advantages? All right, well, that wraps up the inquiries. Rock on, drone you. I thoroughly enjoy the content, the humor, the bogus accents. I listen intently each day. Keep it up.
Peace.
He thoroughly enjoys the bogus accents.
Do you think he was talking about his own? That was actually very well done, if that was a bogus accent.
Well, hey, bogus accents is why we sit here, Rob, every morning. Everyone knows
that's
that.
Right.
All right, let's talk about Fixed Wing. So, is Fixed Wing really a viable platform? There are so many questions in this one question. I wrote down, Fixed Wing, viable platform. Is BBLOS really going to be used in the future? If you're picking your niche, should you go by platform? Should you build DIY or go with the expensive EV solution, the Precision Hawk, or DIY in business, liability, blah, blah, blah. Lots of questions.
There was quite a bit bundled up into that little.
Yes. So, let's just go. Let's from the top, right?
Yeah.
Is Fixed Wing viable in your drone business? Absolutely.
Of course.
If you're familiar with our industrial drone build class, we had Walter Lappert and Peter Kalapidis. Peter owns his own company now, and Walt still owns Lappert Smith Technologies. But they have two massive fixed wing planes that they use for mapping. They also use it for a vegetation plant index when they're trying to measure, in natural refuge forests and whatnot, how much vegetation there actually is compared to previous years. This is something they use it for. It's also something that the National Forest actually uses it for. We have seen a fixed-wing aircraft in California monitoring areas utilizing multispectral and hyperspectral cameras. So there is definitely a viable aspect of fixed-wing aircraft in your UAS business.
Even things like livestock counting, right? That's something that we've talked about.
Yes, but I think in every... in every business, the one similarity between the businesses that you can use fixed wings for is going to be the scale or the vastness of the job that you're doing. For example, 3D robotics, and I'm glad this question came in today. 3D robotics just partnered with Sony, right? Mm-hmm. They're using that APS-C sensor, the same one on the A6000, A6300, to take super high definition photos for mapping purposes. But the limitation is that it's on a solo. Which is, it's not the solo itself that's the limitation. It's the type of vehicle that it is. It's a quadcopter.
Right.
The limitation is your flight time and your ability to map certain things. If 3DR were to partner with Sony and put this Sony camera on a fixed wing platform, you're going to be able to map the Golden Gate Bridge. You're going to be able to map a sizable infrastructure, dams and whatnot. But you're also going to be able to map, farms, like you said, livestock monitoring. Think about, how are you going to do 500 acres? How are you going to do 10 acres?
Right.
You're going to need a fixed-wing aircraft. Same thing with power line inspection. If you're doing regular, long-term power line inspection, you're going to be seeing fixed-wing aircraft. So that brings us to the next point. What about beyond visual line of sight, or BVLOS? Just recently, the FAA put out in their press release that they were talking about really inspecting how they could allow more commercial users to do BVLOS, and I think that is I think that's a very cool thing.
So at this point, does one have to get a special permit for that or a special exemption to be able to do that?
I'm pretty sure there's only one firm that is approved by the FAA to use BVLOS.
Seems like
BNSF Railroad.
Right. Okay. I was gonna say I remember a railroad being allowed to do that. Okay.
Which makes sense because, railroads, vast infrastructure, think about it. But also, the reason that, let's go to the next one, DIY versus the SenseFly versus Precision Hawk. There's a reason that Precision Hawk is a $30,000 drone. Is it just a cheaper drone that's been rebuilt with a new brain? Yes, it is. But the brain itself is extremely valuable, number one.
Right.
And the drone's ability to carry high-level precision gear is, its value. It can carry, a LiDAR sensor. It can carry a hyperspectral sensor. It can carry a multispectral sensor. And that's where the difference is in money. If you're like he said, he's a modeler. He loves to fly, fixed-wing aircraft. He wants to get in his business.
Right.
Would you have to go niche by platform? And this question would be, if you're so in love with fixed wings, I think, yes, you would. You'd have to go into, you know, farming, mapping, agriculture as a whole. But understand that there's a reason that these platforms, the EB and the Precision Hawk, are so expensive. It's because of the type of cameras that they can fly with. And they've married the sensor and the brain together to communicate as one. So, you know, the biggest problem with mapping, as a lot of people know, are ground control points. Whenever you're using Pix4D, you're using drone deploy, the biggest problem, again, ground control points. So what Precision Hawk does is marry highly accurate GPS technology with the photos that come out of, say, the multispectral sensor, the hyperspectral sensor, and it's able to create maps with those sensors. Now, normally you need a surveyor's license to be able to interpret those maps. You can build those maps yourself,
right.
But understand the amount of money that you're going to make is going to be in the accuracy or the precision of your maps. For example, if I'm using a Parrot or even, say, a Bixler wing with a GoPro, I'm not going to get the level of accuracy that I truly need to be able to make decisions. We're seeing this in the field right now, is that number one, the data is not as accurate as people would like it to be. Number two, the other issue in agriculture is getting the data to a computer that can actually complete the map or the orthomosaic, 3D model, DSM, whatever you're using it for. You know, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, having a cell signal to send these photos up to drone deploy is kind of difficult. Otherwise, going to your office, again, in a small town, you're probably not going to have the fastest internet. Here at Drone U, that's not a problem, you know, when we've got 150 down and 25-30 up. So,
right.
But it's a very real problem in the agriculture industry, a problem that you would have to come over. So Precision Hawk, again, the reason it's so expensive is because of the back end. It's because of the brain and the ability to take those images and not only do what Drone Deploy does, which is create cloud-based maps, meaning you upload this footage, it goes into a cloud. But where it takes it one step further than Drone Deploy is that it actually maps and creates aggregate of all of your data. So you can go in by location, by county, you can go in by job and look at maps that are a week old, a month old, a year old, a day old. So what it does is it's actually organizing this data. And that's where the real value is.
And that's
value
part of the cost of what Precision Hawk is offering, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty. It's called Precision Mapper, by the way, if you're interested in checking out precisionmapper.com. In fact, Precision Hawk was one of the very first companies that I worked with as a drone pilot, working with Tyler at Precision Hawk about two or three years ago, when I was working at another university. And that being said, you know, if you're going to go DIY, that's fine. Just understand that you're limiting your ability to create high dollar revenue. You're limiting your ability to create high margins of profit because you're not going to provide the accuracy that the other drones can provide, number one. Number two, you're not going to be able to provide the myriad of data, meaning hyperspectral, multispectral, LiDAR. And also, you're not going to have the back end to actually organize this mass amount of data. I mean, think about the unbelievable amount of data that this is going to take up. So what Precision Hawk does is provide a back end for your business. And it also provides, a gateway or a portal for your clients to visualize and interpret their data too. So what's
a turnkey system, really?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going for.
And so by the time you do that on your own, you've probably spent quite a bit more than you would have spent, especially through the trial and error and the R&D elements of putting something like this together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how much you're going to spend on something like that.
Exactly. So that's why I think it's so important. Again, if you're mapping these big things, can you imagine just trying to organize all the photos per the map that you set out to do? Like if you had to do 10 acres section by section by section, like, oh my God, the amount of time you would spend.
Right.
So yeah, it comes down to what is your opportunity cost if you were to do this DIY yourself.
Right.
I would not recommend the Parrot. The SenseFly EV is a great solution that we've seen a few Fortune 500 companies that are using. They're not using it though to get exact measurements. They're using it more for volumetric measuring, for foundation laying, for excavation. They're not using it for, you know, hey, let's map out this area, see if we can actually put a building here,
right,
and measure the building in place. They're not doing it for that. So DIY versus one of these systems, if you're really trying to turn that passion into profit. As Jesse Tevlo says in his book, The Connection Algorithm, you've got to make a choice that you're going to do this business. You've got to commit. Then you've got to create. So, I mean, the commitment aspect is something that a lot of people overlook. They just try to do this in their free time. Right. And sometimes you just got to man up and save money for a year and say, I'm going to go balls to the wall and create my business, and I'm going to make it work. Because with Precision Hawk, you know, you're looking at a high barrier to entry.
You are. And so, by the way, the fourth C coming out of that is connect, right?
That is right.
So, anyways,
I love that you read that book.
Well, I'm working on it. It's been pretty good so far. But it's a great lead-in to the next question of, do you need to focus on one or the other, essentially fixed wing versus multi-rotor? And I think just based on hearing the conversation, the answer should be pretty clear that you really, I think you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you talk about everything that goes into developing a business in either one of these arenas, and I think about fixed wing and kind of the, even if you think of the practical issues like the remoteness of where you're going to do these kinds of engagements and the fact that the people that you're going to need to connect with, it's quite a different realm than the kind of people that you're going to need to connect with on the multi-rotor side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think to do yourself justice and to give yourself the best chance of building something great, you're really going to need to focus. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't live where, I don't know, you live in Iowa. There you go, John. We'll reference your Hawkeye state. Anyways, you live in Iowa.
As he's wearing an Iowa jacket.
I know. So, anyways, you live in one of the cities there. They have cities in Iowa, right? Sorry, okay.
Really? Farm cities.
So I could see doing some fixed wing stuff, and then maybe you do a little bit of real estate stuff on the side or something. But your focus is going to be fixed wing if you're going to make that work.
You know what I would do? Yeah, fixed wing is it's such a niche in itself. There are
right.
so many things.
There's so much to learn.
Yeah. And I was thinking, well, could you, you know, go multi-rotor for a while, do some small-scale mapping, and then go into big-scale mapping? No, because I just don't think the market is there right now. People are not seeing the benefits just yet. I mean, I've been doing construction presentation after construction presentation, and people are just scratching the surface in construction. It's not like real estate. Real estate was that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Everyone's going after it.
Easy to see visually what you're going to get with.
True.
And so it was much easier to sell.
Yeah, that is very, very true. But so if you're going to go, you know, I was going to say, oh, you could build up the money, then go into fixed wing. No, you'd have to go balls deep right away. Like there's no two ways about it. How would you do it? Now, you said, you know, one of the four C's is connect. You've got to connect with the industry leaders. Mm-hmm. You've got to surround yourself with those people. So you've really got to get into the agriculture industry, into the associations. In fact,
what's an example of a couple of meetings you've been to recently?
Oh, well, actually, I have something else in mind, an example I wanted to give. This day, a year ago, was International Drone Day,
okay.
if you remember, and I was in Las Vegas this time
right.
last year, and I actually met one of the heads of the board of the United States Agriculture Association for Small Farmers, something. It was
wow.
like something, yeah, it was something really long and drawn out, and he made a couple points. He was like, oh, Drone Day is going to be so late next year. None of us are going to be able to go because we're harvest or we're preparing our crops. You know, it's not
yeah.
going to happen.
We're oiling up the tractor.
yeah. But he said, you know, farmers have always had an interest to look above and see what they're doing. And the evidence is actually empowered parachutes. The things that we're going after now for drone pilots to get that low hanging fruit way in for pilot's license. Powered parachute was actually first adopted in the early 80s for farmers to get that bird's eye view of their property. So this has actually been on the minds of farmers for quite some time. But what he would have to do is get in with associations like that one I mentioned and really start doing presentations with associations, local farm bureaus, and, you know,
Trade shows.
Trade
shows
big
are always
one.
A good way to get into these areas.
Yeah, AUVSI, I believe that would be that trade show. A lot of people ask me, Paul, what's the difference between NAB and AUVSI? AUVSI is very commercial. It is hyper government contracts. It is the big boys with the big toys. These are the people that are really behind the scenes lobbying in the drone world.
Yeah.
Even though you may not agree with it, they are. So anyway, you got to make friends with them, though, and just try to do what you can to talk to those people. But surround yourself with those people. There's also, I believe there is an agriculture drone conference now, but it's in like Norway or something. I forget.
But, and like you said, you have to commit. And another thing that that Jesse said in his book that really resonated with me is that one of the ways that one of the attributes of somebody who makes it is that they persevere, right? And so you're going to want to quit at some point in time. You can't quit. You got to keep going. But as you're talking about this and we're talking about getting into something like this fixed wing world, so to speak, there's going to be a lot of times when you're going to say, there's
screw
not
this.
A market. These people don't like me. It's a good old boy network. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of reasons.
And there was a guy on YouTube, actually, who commented on one of our podcasts from last week who was like, oh, you can't make money flying drones, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you about my buddy Ziv. Ziv Marmon owns ZMInteractive.com. That dude makes 7 figures a year flying drones. Mr. I have no time to make money with drones on YouTube. Anyway, it just
That's because he's on YouTube.
Well, not only that, but it also goes to show if you're going to do something, you've got to commit to it.
Dude.
Are you making the phone calls? Are you connecting with people? You know, one of my favorite things that I like to do if I really want to connect with a specific person, right? Let's say I want to sell Don't Crash course in Best Buy, right? I'm going to send the lead buyer at Best Buy a cupcake in the mail. And then I'm going to call that guy and ask him if he got my cupcake. Mm-hmm. Guess what? 9 times out of 10, they're at least going to answer the phone and tell me whether they got the cupcake or not. And about 5 times out of 10, I'm going to be able to set up a meeting with that person because of the cupcake. People are like, why do you send cupcakes to people? Because it works. Literally, I was at a sales training meeting like a month ago, and someone told me about the cupcake rule, and I was like, I've been using that for years. You're a little late to that game. So.
Well, yeah, the point is just do something a little bit. It doesn't even have to be a lot different, and it certainly doesn't have to be expensive. It's just something that makes you stand out.
By the way, you can autonomously send cupcakes from the internet. I just wanted to let everyone know that.
Or brownies or whatever.
Yeah, we got to make sure, though, where we send brownies to, Rob, okay?
Or where they come from, you mean? Wait, I'm not talking about those kind of brownies.
So if you're a small business owner in Colorado, I don't think you'll be getting cupcakes from us.
Maybe you will.
Anyway, so I hope that answers the guy's question when it comes to fixed wing UAS. Is it viable? Absolutely. But just like any business, you really got to commit. You've got to find that niche and really go after it. We love your questions. So if you go to AskDroneU.com and upload that question, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, check out our review of the Osmo case. We really love that Osmo case. It's got the field sand, so if you're using the Osmo a lot and you know you got to take it out of the case, put it in the case, take it out of the case, it becomes cumbersome. So the Osmo field sand really answers that question, or it helps that problem, solves that problem. And again, check out that review. You can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/DroneU. Oh, did I miss anything, Rob?
No, yeah, I mean, obviously check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to interact with you guys on all those different fronts. So please do that, AskDroneU.com. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, guys. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.